Hey everybody, this is Doc Mack from the Galloping Ghost Arcade out in Brookfield, Illinois. It is January 11th, 2016, and we are here doing another podcast with virtually everyone from the arcade today.
Everyone who is important.
Who's at the arcade. And Mozzie's.
Fritz here.
And Mozzie's.
Let's everybody introduce themselves.
Jamie Tibbetts.
From?
From the retro our hometown location?
And you're Schmuppin.
Schmuppin.
Oh, we're doing...
From Schmuppin.
Oh, okay. JT from Schmuppin and the Hambone.
All right. I'm the Hambone.
And the Hambone's here.
Fred DeHart.
Game of the Year 2014.
Thank you.
Don't forget that part. Yeah.
Forgot.
Brian Chillo from the South Side. That's about all I got.
Masi Segovian. I need no other introduction.
The Ace.
Wow.
And the Ace.
The Ace.
And the Gamer of the Year, Pete
Hahn. Gamer of the Year, Pete Hahn. So, lots of stuff is always going on at the arcade, and we just put up our new Monday Game of the Week, which was Aero Fighters Special, which everybody seemed to got a couple of tries on already.
Yep.
What'd you guys think?
Good. I think they turned the ship around after 2 and 3, and they're kind of back a little more towards 1.
Well, 2 and 3 were horizontals, right?
No.
They were verticals, but they were on a horizontal monitor. They weren't the rotated monitor, right?
Yeah, because they're Neo Geo.
Oh, that's right.
So they're horizontal. But that's not the problem. Right? Right. Strikers Plus is that
that's
way,
true.
And it's fantastic. The series went down a little, but this one...
It still has all the goofy characters, like from 2 and 3 kind of deal, but like Jamie said, it's... Going back to 1.
A little bit.
Well, it's more of a mashup, actually, 1, 2, and 3, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, for 1997, it's a pretty good game.
Cool.
It's a video system, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a very rare board. It popped up, actually, on eBay.
Really?
And, from a Japanese seller, but couldn't pass it up, so...
Gotta have the whole set.
It is the whole set now.
It's like Pokemon. You gotta catch them all.
Well, after I get this high score, I'll go back to 2 then. I'll get all 4 high scores.
Here we go.
Wait, you have 2, don't you? Yeah. And 3?
No.
Nope.
Do you have 3?
He's got 2 of the belts.
I got 1-3.
Is it, and I know we just 2 weeks ago put up Dragon Blaze, and normally we try to spread stuff out. Today we were kind of running around trying to decide what to put up. Is it... going to take away from your Dragon Blaze playing?
No! Nothing could.
Can never have enough shmups? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's true, but Dragon Blaze is the best.
Okay.
So.
If you could see it, everybody just rolled their eyes when you said that.
Nope, it's the best.
Even Jamie. I'm pretty into Dragon Blaze myself. Right
I like Dragon Blaze. That's fun.
Everyone's getting into it.
Yeah. But the best? I don't know
for me.
Right now it's the best.
It's not the best shmup, but it's good.
It's fun.
Such a personal preference thing.
I'm a Psycho guy, so I'm biased.
How do you pronounce the name of that company?
Psycho.
Psycho? Okay.
Psycho.
I was going to make a bad Street Fighter pun there.
Psycho Russia.
Yeah.
What makes Dragon Blaze so good for you?
To me, it's gorgeous looking, and I like the controls. I like just the metals. I like every layer about it. You can ignore one layer if you want, but if you're going to... play like a man, you gotta play so it's got all the layers, it's awesome. I just like it.
Except for the chaining layer.
Right, there's no chaining.
Yeah. Which is fine.
You got metals that are, you can either make them gold or silver, you don't have to make them gold, but if you want the points.
Well, if you're scoring, you have to.
Right, if you don't have to technical bonus the bosses, but if you want the points, you have to. So there's a bunch of layers that are...
I like that they're not...
I think it's well balanced. It's
they don't precede each other in a way that you can... ignore those and then still play the game and have fun with it.
Yeah.
So, but that's a cool part about it. I might enjoy it on a casual level. I don't think I'll try to go for a score on it, but it looks like a lot of fun to just mess with.
It's most of those, I'm actually getting interested on it on a scoring level. It's been, I've been learning all the technical bonuses and getting those down, and just a very fun game.
Cool.
So, but I guess let's look at some scores.
All right, so just recently we had Fred just today upped his Dodonpachi score, and this is not house high yet.
Yes.
Yet.
He's charging.
He's charging.
He's closing the gap.
He put up 49 million, which is inching up on Walter's score.
He's got 52 and some change. So yeah. I'm right there.
Very impressive.
Might happen tonight.
That's close. Yeah.
So that's a super impressive game.
Congratulations on that.
It takes a lot of time and effort to get that. So it's a good job.
Thank you.
Dragon Blaze.
Jamie.
He just upped his new world record today. 596,200 was it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Who are you using?
That's a secret.
Quaid.
There's a secret for that. No stress. Everybody's
Quaid
at this point.
Then Cobra Man, new world record in that, set by Don Cox.
That was weird.
He sensed you.
No, he did, because I started playing it at the Retrocade, and I played for like 2 hours. I mean, I was just playing it, and then I was slowly creeping up on him. And as soon as I went to put in a score, he had put in one like 5 minutes earlier than that.
Whoa.
It was insane.
Billy Mitchell, you know?
Yeah.
He knew. I was within like 10,000-15,000 of him. Boom, upped it by 90,000.
Wow. See, that was done on the 9th, so just a couple days ago he upped it. Yeah. Yeah.
John Haruza has
Castlevania.
Castlevania the Arcade that we put up just last Monday. I know James White had it at some point.
James had the highest score at close on Monday before John could really get into it and sink his teeth into it. Sorry for the pun. But, John put up a pretty nice score of 2.3 some million.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Then you had a new world record in Ninja Baseball Batman.
That game I just abuse the most powerful moves. It's a one sissy, I call it. Like, you can call it one cc, but it's like, it's really not the greatest accomplishment. You know, I'll take it, but it's, you know, if you abuse the right moves, it's not that hard.
We'll watch the film later.
Cool. Who else do we have?
We have Ian Choice, I believe is the guy's name, with the Rampart score. Let me double check the score on that. I think he's over 14,000 now.
You know, Mozzie's was trying to get that score for a while.
So was I. I tried going back and playing it a few times, and I think I got 11 or 12.
This was just 4 days ago. Ian put up 14,379.
Yeah, excellent.
He had it before, too.
He did. He just upped his own score, yeah. So that's just an increase of his current score. And then we have you with Anteater.
Yeah.
You, Mozzie's.
You as a Mozzie's.
Go up on that one.
But there's still room to go up more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've gotten close to 180 before.
Really?
The Arcade High, I think, is like 220 or something.
Whew.
Well, that's high. The Twin Galaxies, whatever, the world record.
It's 219.
219, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're going to try to go for that at some point?
I don't know, maybe eventually.
Cool.
That's a good score. That game gets really hard.
James was trying to attack your score earlier in the week before you came in and upped it, so I think you might have discouraged him.
He's nowhere close.
He was around 100,000 the other day.
The game escalates so much. Like, I probably can beat James' score on one life.
Ooh. Alright, James, you hear that? He's calling you up. I know you listen.
Not probably. I can't.
And all also right. New house high in Space Harrier.
Yep. Pete Gores.
I think
Fred had it before, just briefly.
Yeah, but that was kind of like an out of the box score. I don't think anybody's really put time in it.
That was like the second score anyone's ever put up on it. So
yeah, if Gores sits on it, that'll be way higher because that's a Gores game.
Yes,
it is. Yeah,
he put up like 6 million, right? 6 something.
Yeah.
We also had our very own Mike McCarthy up his own house high in Wacko.
Yeah.
That's crazy high.
he's getting up there,
And Cosmic Cruiser. Right?
Yeah, that dude,
he's just under Donald Hayes now. He beat Stephen Wagner's score and Jason Cram's score. That's impressive.
That's impressive company.
Yeah.
So yeah. I asked him on Saturday if me and Haruza were playing Dragon Blaze, and I'm like, oh, are you going to put up a score in Dragon Blaze? And he's like, does it have 100 token total to
not
it?
Not yet.
I'm like, no. He's like, I'm not interested.
Got to get 85 more people to play.
Is that the criteria?
He only has two scores.
Yeah, he has two scores.
Is
and they're
that
both,
coincidental? Or?
I don't know. They're both from the same developer, and they feature the same characters, though.
Yeah.
It's a Cosmic Cruiser.
Yeah, so Cosmic Cruiser.
The joke is his token average is like astronomical.
It's like 100,
And then the new Ms. Pac-Man, House High.
Yep, and that's by Joe Picciatelli, I want to say,
It? He came in and a couple weeks ago and was putting up a monster score on Galaga, so it's great to see him here more regularly. And
he came in that last Saturday when we were all here. Is that when you came in? Were you here?
I met him not that Saturday, like maybe 2 weeks ago. He was here with his kids.
He was there.
That's right. Yeah,
he was here on a Monday.
It was Tuesday, I think.
Oh, that was that Tuesday. Yeah.
That's funny. Right. He actually one of the people I worked with, like he's friends with them. And I think that was kind of
fun. Oh yeah. Okay, that was January 2nd is when he came in.
Okay.
And put up that score, and then Steven Lucas held that before. It was a little over 100,000, but now we're over at 130K now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That so needs to be pushed way higher.
Yeah, I'm sure it's got some room.
Absolutely.
So we apologize if we're leaving out anyone's score, but we're only going to focus on really the top, like house highs and world records, because people are putting in just so many scores, we really can't keep up and mention everyone's scores. So apologies. We'll hopefully mention you on your next accomplishment.
So. Don't hold your breath.
So I think why we have everyone here and what we really wanted to get into is the whole padding discussion. Because,
yes.
We had a really good example come up with Circus Charlie between these two guys here, Masis and Jamie, and how padding can sometimes discourage people from trying to go for a score, or just people just don't feel like they want to play that way. Can you guys just sure. give the listeners like a description of what was going on there?
Sure. All right. Sean Quigley had the score,
mm-hmm.
and it was a pretty good score. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me a while to get there. I put a lot of time into it. Well, not a lot, a couple hours. Each week I was playing it for a little while. And I finally got over the hump, took his score.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week came by, and Jamie figured out that you could just jump over a pot over and over and over and got 100,000, basically 20% higher than my score, so considerably higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're at the same part of the game, though.
Okay.
We're more or less at the same level, but
mm-hmm.
And that's basically the extent of it. Sean Quigley is still playing it. He has since passed. I think he passed my score.
Yeah,
passed you.
Yeah.
So he's inching closer to Jamie. So I imagine, based on knowing Sean, he's probably ahead of both of us in the game.
In terms of
distance in the game.
He is.
But he does not have the same score. Because he does not, or at least I don't think, I haven't seen him play.
No, he is.
He refuses to do it.
That sounds like Sean.
Well, I told him about it. I'm like, if you just go jump over this pot for like 10 minutes, you will have the score.
10 minutes.
He chose not to do it. So, I mean, that's.
I respect him for that. Good. I don't usually cheer for Sean Quigley, but I'm definitely cheering for Sean Quigley here.
So, are you cheering for him because he's going to pass Jamie? Is that why you're cheering for him?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the lesser of two evils. All
right.
So really, what that brought up was when there are exploits, is it worth using these breaks in the game?
Exploits?
Yes.
Yeah. It's taking advantage of bad game design.
You are. Like, what becomes more important? Is it just having the score, or is it competing, or, like, what is most important?
In this game, I don't think it's exploiting anything. I mean, they made it so that if you jumped backwards over a pot, you got points.
Yeah, if they didn't want you to get points.
It's
got a timer, too, right?
Yeah, and there's a timer, so there's absolutely, you're not exploiting, there's no glitching. I mean,
but you can get scores that, like, while you can get them in the first level, like,
sure.
You shouldn't be getting them until much later, and you end up not playing the game as much as just doing the same thing, which isn't necessarily how the game was meant to be played.
Well, I agree, it's boring as hell.
But
I don't
want
to jump
over
pots.
But that's the question, is, like, why would you want to make a game not fun to play just to get the score, when you could, like, you're a great player at it and you could compete on the same level? Like, why take it down this other path?
Because the points are there.
But if the points are there at the end, why make it? It just kind of, like, gives it this weird, like, the thing when you put that score up, everybody kind of was, like, shoulder shrugging and seemed to have lost interest a bit on the game.
Well,
you think that's on them, though?
There are only three people playing.
Yeah.
One of them went, I'm done because I have a score. Sean Quigley's still playing.
Yeah.
Masa's the only one that stopped playing.
Sean was kind of questionable at first. Yeah. Like, he was... I think he's kind of taken it upon himself to prove that he can do it. Like, it's a game. He really likes the game.
Yeah. I hope he does. I don't think I would play it again. I think I'm done. I think it would be awesome if he beat my score legit without jumping over the pots and stuff.
Why do you use the word legit?
Without, it's hardcore, let's put it that way.
But if it's a matter of, like, you can do that. You could put the same time on it and achieve that score. Like, why take it down the path of where you're just being like, this is not fun to do and it wastes time. It's, and there's a lot of games like that, and we've talked about...
Like Splatterhouse went down the same road. Like, it just hit, sitting in one place and killing those...
It's called Patterhouse.
Yeah. Splatterhouse, yeah.
Well, it's...
You can go with, like, every... almost every single game there's going to be, like, stuff where there's, you know, points where you're going to be able to just, you know...
About half of there's... Nah, probably less than that.
But there's... Like, Splatterhouse got to the point where eventually it had to become that. And there was a rule in place that was made by Twin Galaxies years and years ago, which kind of... Like, you... That was the only spot to pad at, and that was the only place that you could get more points. So it became like this battle at this very bottleneck spot. Whereas this, the whole game is there. It's like Ghosts and Goblins. It's like, it's at the very first or second, third stage. It's the third stage that the bulk of the padding happens, where it's like, you're not even venturing past that because that's where all the points are. And it's like, James has like some great score in, but he's just not sitting and padding. He's getting pretty much through the whole game.
I saw him beat the big red devil, but he just didn't have the cross, so it didn't let him go to the second loop, so it just sends you back.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he did it like a couple weeks ago, so he's getting really far in it.
Well, in one specific game, though, Elevator Action, there was, you know, the whole padding thing, and then I think Wagner came with the idea, instead of scoring for that game, you should just do, what level you can get to in that.
No, if you get to the same level as someone, it's just you have the same score as someone?
Right. They didn't put, like, you know, because there's a spot in, like, floor 7 or something like that, in one of the stages, you can sit there and, like, milk it forever.
Literally forever?
Just about. Because there's no timer in that game.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think the enemies just come out faster and stuff, but, like, you'll never die, like, because of the timer.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, that's one of the things, like, they've been trying to get around with, like, games like that. It's, like, you know, it's just, like, distance. And that could be a thing with Ghosts and Goblins, too, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, that game is really hard to get through.
Absolutely.
But I think even on Ghosts and Goblins, with doing the exploit to get the points, I mean, it's easy. But at the same point in time, the quicker you do it, there can be a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just jumping back and forth like the Circus Charlie thing. But still, I mean, that's a little bit more fun for me. Like, I played that game a little bit. I can't get that far, you know, on my credit. But it's still fun for me to get there. Let's see how fast I can do this and how much points I can get up before timer gets down to where I need to move on.
Yeah, that's what these two guys joke about. Like, I waggle the joystick better. Like,
yeah, I'm a better waggler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a good twiddler.
Wagging the dog. Yeah, twiddler, yeah.
But, and we've brought up, like, with Russian Attack, where maybe set, like, there has to be, like, a benchmark to overtake top score.
I actually think Russian Attack is not really padding. Because
it's not really. You're in deathly danger at all times.
Like,
yeah.
That stealth bomber comes
in. I think like the first level in Russian Deck, I think you can milk it to, I think you can get 45,000.
I've done 51,000. I've done 51,000, just a little over that.
Okay.
But maximum beating the first level.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't. I hit just over 45.
Yeah.
But you're right at the edge of the timer.
Yeah.
There's a timer. Yeah. And if you wait too long in a certain spot, the
stealth bomber,
the enemies just come.
Yeah. Oh, the jump kick goes.
So it's a risk reward.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good system for, like, where if you're trying to get more points, the game's throwing more and more at you.
And it's super hard.
That's the way it should be done.
Yeah.
I think Russian Attack, there's nothing wrong with Russian Attack.
I agree. Because there's a timer there, first of all, and then the game just punishes you for staying there.
Right.
And one touch from anyone, you're done.
I don't see any difference between that and Circus Charlie.
what's the trying to kill you if he doesn't change?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a timer, so that's the same. So are you in danger of any way of missing your jump?
Sure. You can jump, but you can hit the pot. The rings are coming. The rings have fire. I mean, you can, you're constantly in...
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
...in danger of dying. It's not...
It would be the same case if Russian Attack did not have the jumping guys or the flying guys.
Or the plane coming out?
It doesn't ramp up in difficulty.
Russian Attack does, though.
Eventually, just will come down and, like...
That's the significant difference. There is no risk more than regularly playing the game in Circus Charlie. There is an added risk for...
Aren't most Konami games, though, like that? Like, there's a lot of that, you know, padding involved, but at the same time, there's a timer that will come at, like, Contra, right?
Super Contra and Contra, they're the same exact way. Like, they all have hit... Like, if they don't have a regular timer, they have a hidden timer, and it's just how many points can you get before that timer is going to expire and something unavoidable is going to happen to you. Like, Super Contra, these little... This big fireball comes out and gets you, and you can't avoid it. And regular Contra, like, these little icons come out and they crisscross right at you, and you can't avoid it. But it's a thing that's a common Konami thing, and I don't know. I think that way is, like, the game doesn't get any harder in those games, though. It's just enemies keep coming out, and then the timer expires and you die.
As long as points are the metric for the best, you can't stop padding. So I don't embrace it as much as I just accept that it's a thing.
No, he loves it.
I don't want to jump over pots in Circus Charlie, but it's so easy. It's just like they're there.
It's there, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the difference.
I mean, if a dollar's on the ground, are you not going to take it because it's someone else's? Or?
Well, it's the difference of a gamer, really.
It's there.
Where is it?
Jamie said he doesn't like jumping over pots, but he does it anyway and got the score.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like jumping over pots, so I'm like, screw it, I'm not going to play anymore. I'd rather play something else where it's more enjoyable.
Right.
I care more about playing other stuff that I care about to an extent.
But that doesn't make any sense, because it's... If you're playing it for fun, you're playing for...
I don't like doing things that I don't like doing.
Well, no, but if you're going for a score...
If you're going for a score, you
can't go for a score and then not go for a score at the same time.
But you can't, like, the competition, like, there's... You don't have to do it, but in you doing it, it makes it to where it's significantly harder for everybody to not.
So they should, then.
It's, well, why doesn't he not? Like, just because...
Because it's not against the rules.
Well, not yet. Like,
well, you can't make new rules when the track's already been set up, and, like, we're competing against scores that everyone else has got on Orcade that, for all you know, I'm sure they've done that.
You can find... Like, when you find an exploit, like, as an adjudicator, you have to define what is... Like, breaking the spirit of the game. Like, that's what Walter Day intended for. It was, you were supposed to always keep the focus of breaking the spirit of the game. In each game, everybody who's playing that game, if they're really going after scores and they're really understanding the game, like, they should be able to weigh in and be like, this should be a rule that this can't be done, just so the score doesn't get to the point, it doesn't cause this problem.
Well, if you're going to do rules, they have to be objective. Nothing about it can be subjective. And then you also have to worry about diluting the scores you already have. Like, all these people that have Circus Charlie scores, like, now they have to come back and set new scores, and then the scores of the world record that already the guy maxed it out, then are we just going to ignore his max out? That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, his maxed out score. I mean, he got like 999
all nine
scrolls. And that is insanely impressive. Like, I don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
Even with the padding that I know of, I don't know how that's possible.
Perfect everything.
I don't really think that's actually... we're not that far from that.
That's crushing the game and crushing the padding.
Yeah, that's doubling. That's doubling your score, yeah.
From what I understand of that game, the second loop is the exact same thing as the first loop. There's no difference.
No, because the score maxes out before that, I think.
Yeah, so there's six different tracks in that game. I think both Jamie and I think Sean as well, perfected four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or three of them. Three and a half of them, really.
Three and a half, yeah.
So it's just a matter of just figuring out how to beat, like, literally, so those six tracks, you play each of them five times. So there's 30 levels in the first loop.
Right.
We're all at, like, beating 24 of them, basically. All we have to do is beat those six other ones, and then we start the second loop, of which the scores will immediately jump up 300,000.
I didn't even know there was a second loop.
Yeah.
There's a finite number of points in the first loop.
Well, that's why I didn't understand how that 999 thing was possible. I didn't know there was a second loop. That makes more sense. But I agree with Pete. Padding is subjective. You can never make it objective. Like, what if you jumped over one pot backwards? Is that padding? 2, 5, 10 You have, I mean, if it's objective, it's, it has to be written in stone. You can never jump over pots backwards.
You can never jump backwards, and even if you're doing it to avoid a death, you can't do it. And then,
but they
then,
have they have plenty of rules in place that are like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You can't like pad enemies unless it's the level 4 boss in which you can only kill 50 mousers, but no more than 50.
What? Yeah,
that's, you gotta see that
one. That's, yeah, because that's a, an exact number that you have to stick with. Like if you say,
but, like you can be like, okay, you can't jump over it more than. Well, it's complicated, but it makes it to where. Like, there's a game, like Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
The whole game is making it to the...
That's Red just Skulls. Totally broken.
Yeah.
Right. Like, the thing, I had an appreciation for what Matt Walters did when he was like, I've got the score, but, and I could just spend my last lives here, but I'm going to finish the thing. And he didn't get all the points that he could have gotten there, but he... Eventually, there was an existing score, and you know that's what they did. But he took it past that, and he finished the game and showed that he could do that. And to me, as far as like gamesmanship, like that should be something that it's like taken into consideration. Like
for Castlevania, I think there should be two tracks. There should be points. Let somebody play for 900 hours straight if they want to, and drop dead. Or there should be one where you complete the game with the most points. I don't think there should be one track.
No, just one life and done type track.
Or one life and done. There can be different tracks. I think that's the reason we haven't gotten into it, but when we were discussing this last month, we got to the point where you were suggesting the instituting of more rules into each track. Mm-hmm. Keeping it one track, but adding rules to it. And my theory was that you should add multiple tracks, and you were against it. I think that was the crux of the discussion.
And the problem with that is that everybody just follows one. Like, you can have as many tracks as you want. You can do whatever you want as far as that goes. But making something that people look at it as the world record, there's going to be one. Like, you're not going to have 50 world record holders just because this guy's padding in level one, and this guy's...
No, they did it in Berserk. They got pattern play and no pattern play. Like, it happens. There's two world records in that game.
It begins to dilute it. Like, when you look
at it totally does. I agree.
In Galaxy, some games there's like 12 tracks.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Right. Well, taken to the extreme, who's the world record holder for Guitar Hero?
Right.
There's thousands of different songs that people have the best score on, but who's the actual best? No one knows, because there's so many tracks.
There's some sort of middle ground that has to be... Like, sometimes when I look on Twin Galaxies and I try to decipher what the best score is, I don't even know what I'm looking at eventually, because sometimes there is 5, 6, 7, 8 tracks for the same game.
Yep. Yeah, I think it depends, like, also what you consider to be, like... Like, some scores, like, they might... You might think they're the world record, but it might not be a measure of skill. Like, I think there's scores where, like, the best player doesn't have the top score. So you just have to take that into account. Like, there's not always going to be...
All Jamie's good scores.
You just have to say, hey, he got that score, that's an achievement, but, you know, there's a person that might know the game better and just leave it at that. I think this guy probably knows Russian Attack as good or better than I do, even though I have a higher score.
Close.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just I haven't had enough time to put into it to really work on the score.
Yeah.
I was doing that for a while, and I was having a lot of fun, but just been bouncing around too much lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can't remember how I kind of tapered off that one, but I might have been a little bit discouraged when I came in. And I'm like, oh, pizza, he's just not like, I set the world record. I did, like, you know, double that at home. I'm like, oh.
I did a little more. Not that much more.
When you get to that, like, highest score in that game, like, the end game, that takes a long time, too.
It does, yeah.
That's a certainly time sink. And then, like, you know, you had a stupid death, like, early in the game. You're like,
for sure. And sometimes, for me, too, when I play, it doesn't make any sense to me, but if I go at it constantly, if I keep just playing a game over and over and over again, I'll actually get worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me, so at least some of you might know what I'm talking about.
It's the burnout.
And, but then you take a break and you come back to it, you do awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm on extended break.
Yeah. You got distracted by MIA and the other stuff.
That too, yeah. And Gradius too, I've been really...
You're getting up to really close up there too.
Yeah, I almost had it the other day.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those stupid things. where I have games like that. I'll do awesome, and then I just do the most nonsensical thing, like crash into a wall. I'm like, why did I do that? Yep. It just blew into my entire chance of like doing really well. So yeah.
I mean, as a player, I know you're really good at the game, and I know you know it really well, and I know you have the potential to beat my score. But you know, it's just one game. You know, yeah. You got to put that game together,
exactly,
and that's
yeah.
what we're measuring. My knowledge of the game is up there with yours, but I just put that one game together. I'm sure you can do it if you keep trying.
No, sure. Yeah, it's just, and the brain needs to adapt to the patterns and be methodical. You know,
that's for sure.
I think games fall into probably three categories at most. You have points, you have distance plus points, and you have speed.
And time.
So I don't think that it necessarily it's that slippery of a slope to create new tracks. Because I don't think 20 tracks is ridiculous. I don't think anyone would agree that that is necessary.
Right.
But if you have a game that goes forever, distance becomes a track. If a speed run is possible, speed is a track. And then there's just points where it's just anarchy, what we have now. Padding, if you want, do whatever. Doesn't matter. I don't think there's probably a scenario that doesn't fit into one of those categories. So you'd be the key, there'd be the speed king, there'd be the distance king, and there'd be the points, the score king.
Doesn't that get overly complicated? I don't know.
It's not what the manufacturer originally intended when they made the game.
You're trying to.
Well, did any of the manufacturers like intended any games to be like track like? Like this?
I think they did actually.
I don't think
because some of them would they have different
that's why the timers.
Fast bullets, slow bullets. I mean, those are completely different.
But what's one of the things that's keeping like scoring from being a mainstream? You have a very small group of people that understand scoring and compete in it, and to get it out into the populace, it's like it's not like. Like the casual player is not running around going, I wonder who's speed running that game. It's what's the world record? What's the high score? That's what they know. Like, you can't make it more complicated without it. It's never really bled out into the casual player. And we have like so many players that want notoriety from their scores. And it's like, and there's a lot of players that should get a lot of recognition. Like
Jamie
Tibbetts.
Well, like the group here, how many world records are on this podcast right now? There's 200.
Yeah, but I'd say if you're a casual player, you're not going. I don't.
It's, who cares about the casual?
Casual players aren't going for score.
Who cares about
that? There's someone.
Well, that's the kind of thing. Like,
but then
to draw an analogy, like, does an Olympic speed, you know, an Olympic runner care about a person just jogging down the block? I mean, he probably doesn't, but if you're trying to get him into running, how do you make it more approachable? That's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, like there's...
That was better than the money on the ground thing.
I like my money on the ground. It's free money.
That's where I keep it.
It's something, like scoring in general, like it's something that we want to see grow. We want to see more people get into it more, and I know that's a lot of yours, what you guys want. It's like there's...
The casuals aren't going to be going for world record.
That's the very definition of casual. They don't care as much.
Well, there's not just like matrix pods of high score players just waiting to come out and show up at the Ghost. You have to take casual players.
Sure.
They're out there, but like you need to take casual players and get them into it, and it's the exact same thing that happened with Brian Keita and George Gaynor and Nick Young. Those guys were casual players. Like, they were here. They didn't know any... Matt Walters was a casual player.
All of us were.
I think most people start that way. And I think it's got to come from within, though. Like, if you want it, you'll do it.
Oh, right. Serious.
Yeah.
But...
You were born serious?
Born serious, man.
Yeah, you know, there's a middle ground. I mean, you know, it's not like world record or bust type deal where if
sure.
you're not going for a world record, you're not... going for high scores.
I think you know Sean Quigley is like that. Like he's he comes in and just wants to play. You know, he doesn't
Tim Foley too.
And I come in and I want to be Sean Quigley.
Yeah. But I love your little feud with him. It's awesome.
As far as growing it for the as far as gaining more notoriety to the players, to the games, it's got to be more inviting, and I think that. If it gets too convoluted by being, well, there's 20 different tracks that people follow, it's going to be like, I don't even know what I'm looking at. Like you've even said, look, you know what you're talking about looking at TG. You've been like,
Well, TG has a thing where you can rate the track. Like, if someone thinks a track is, like, it's, the rules are dumb, you can downvote the track, and it's got, like, the star rating on it now.
Okay, but, and that's, it's similar to where I think the players that are playing for the score should have some input on it. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you want to jump over a ball for 40 minutes,
hold on here.
10 minutes most.
If the other players don't, maybe that gets looked at and agreed upon as like, hey, in the rules of like, let's not do this because we can spend our time playing Dragon Blaze.
I'm absolutely with you in theory. I don't think it's possible in the practice, though. I don't think, because you can't have everyone in the world who's playing a game all in one room deciding on something.
But in a sense, like, we using Orcade, like, it's not... There's some stuff that we have to contend with, like the rules to Splatterhouse were in place before we had a Splatterhouse board.
Right.
The rules for Castlevania, we set them. Like, it's defined by what we say is, this is good and this is not.
Sure, like, you can do that going forward, but what do you do with games that have already have scores?
Got tons of scores games that have been out from the 80s and stuff, yeah.
Well, and there's some that, there's scores that, some of them have to be relooked at. There's scores that are wrong.
Yeah, TG's scores, got scores that are wrong, I'm sure of it.
It's moving forward, I think, with the amount of players here, I think that we can kind of acknowledge the past and not get rid of anybody's accomplishment. But in that sense, maybe it is. Like, hey, you have to... maybe it is a new track from that point on. And it would come down to, like, yeah, the Ghosts and Goblins. Like,
so you have multiple tracks?
We will only acknowledge the one. Like, there would be, like, this is our track, and this is
Circus Charlie. We all get together, all three of us Circus Charlie players get together, and we decide, all right, no more padding. My score goes out the window.
Yours would be the only one.
No, the 999 guy, you know, well, he padded. So all, you got to get rid of all the
Orcade. You'd have to start a new track for that.
So you get rid of the current score?
There's some stuff that you can... Are you 100% sure? Like, we can research that stuff.
Well, no, you have to be 100% sure that he did not pad if you're going to keep the score. Otherwise, it's got to go out the window if you don't have the proof.
I think proof becomes the absolute, like, key. Like, we've thrown scores out that... We were pretty sure that we're legitimate, but like that Street Fighter score, we couldn't get in touch with the guy. The score was high, but we had watched him play, and it seemed like he could accomplish it, but we couldn't 100% verify it, so it had to go.
Sure.
And later, several people came and just blew that score out of the water, and that it's just kind of like, it's unfortunate that we weren't able to get in touch with that guy. But as far as the community, if they're not, like, it's a number. It's like, if you can't, if you're not bringing anything to the community, like, that number, who cares what that number is? It's like, it's if it's beneficial for the community as a whole, and it gets people to want to play the game instead of deter them from playing a game, I think that's something that should be looked at, and it's something.
So how would you do it with Circuit Charlie? Like, because there's guys that like they played at other arcades. How would we take what they think into account?
Well, and if it's an arcade score, we can literally pretty much all those scores. I'm sure we could probably from 2000.
Yeah, this guy's put up a score of a max out score in the year of 2000.
Is that a fun spot?
I'll click on it. Let me find out. It's a fun spot.
Fun spot two.
Okay. Yeah. If that guy maxed out the score, he can go with padding or no padding.
Probably.
Because that means he beat the game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter at that point.
Like, but if it gets to that point, like, it's Midnight Resistance, a perfect example. Like, you can finish that game really easily. There's one spot where you can pad. That's the only place that you can take the score. If it gets to that point, so be it. Like, then it becomes who wants to stand there forever and shoot conveyor belts.
We should do a speedrun track for that then. Who can beat it the fastest? That'd be a better test, right?
It's however you want to handle it. It's like that. That should be up to the world record holder and whoever's competing with this. Yeah.
As world record holder of this game, my decree is nobody else can play this.
Well, then what happens to your world record? Is it now? I mean, is it now invalid because we made a different track?
Well, because I would be weighing in on it, I would say no. Like, it should be... I didn't pad on the conveyor belt. Actually, that's not true. When Anthony was playing...
You showed him, yeah.
I showed him how to play the game. Good. So he could get the score just under mine. And I'm like, I was like, I don't want to turn this into a stupid thing where we're sitting here for hours shooting this thing. I'm going to show you how to, one, CC this game. I'll teach you everything you could want to learn about this game. And he can finish the game no problem. He's beat the game. The only request was, don't make me sit and shoot these conveyor belts.
So where
is he? He's going to pad somewhere else then to get the score.
There is no other padding. Like it is something. Just right there.
Certain anybody are almost identical then?
Yeah. Like
then you're bringing that's padding comes, into the equation. That conveyor belt will looks eventually super, come down. Super enticing it now. Come on.
But if it gets to that point,
yeah.
Then that becomes the game, and that's fine. Like no problem with that. If you can do the rest of the other stuff to the game, like if you want to spend. Like
and you're sure there's no like hidden timer or anything going on in the background?
Yeah, there's nothing.
Okay.
You could. It's just like Walter's on Castlevania. Like him being like, "Hey, I'm not just going to spend my last life throwing holy waters for the next hour. I'm going to go take down Dracula."
I'm with you in theory. I don't think anyone wants padding. Padding is boring.
There's no glory.
But then you
I like doing the same thing over and over.
But Circus score, Charlie
score is the metric.
Wait, yeah. If they tracked anything else but score, like if I could attach my name to the Super Contra World Record without sitting in the same place, I would.
Yeah.
But I have to do that if I want the score.
That's what you have to do. There's what you have to do to get a score, and what you choose to do.
You're
and it's the,
to do.
The choices that are made. Like you could play Circus Charlie legitimately.
I could.
It's not even a world record either.
No. It's a house high.
But like the moment you did it, it kneecapped everybody else's interest.
No, stay. One person. But he's sitting right next to me.
But that's like saying out of how big is the scoring community here? How many?
Cut it down by 33%.
Right.
Well, but my 420 didn't put anyone out of it. That Sean Quigley's 390 didn't. I mean, it's
the problem I have with stuff like that. Because imagine if there's a fourth party that comes into this that has no idea anything but likes the game. They're like, oh man, this Jamie Tibbetts guy, and gets like to the game gets really hard at a certain point. We're both at that point, and neither of us have crossed that bridge. And I think anybody with enough practice can get to the same point we're at. And then they're like, man, I don't know how this guy got this extra 80,000 or 100,000. And then maybe they submit a score, and then they're done, because they just don't know.
Well, they can ask Jamie, too. He shares his tech.
Yeah,
We've seen Rolling Thunder with Matt Rocco.
Yeah.
He was amazing at that game. And he would get the last guy, and he's like, he never officially was like, that score is, there's something wrong with that score.
Well, I didn't understand it either, and Pete had to send me a video of it, and I'm like, oh,
that's that MARP replay, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's an insane amount of padding going on there.
There's an insane amount of padding, but that guy, one, also just destroys that game. It's not a challenge to him, because he's that good at the game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not happening in level 1 or 2 or 3. The guy just steamrolls the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets every point that you could ever get because he's that good.
But what's the difference between that and Jamie? He's getting every point he can get jumping
but
back
he's
and forth.
Not that, that good. He's not that good.
Well, and why are those points not as legitimate? Like,
because you're jumping... It's... Why is... How can you even question that?
I guess it's the same metric, too, because and maybe I'm not seeing it as clearly as you guys are here, but when I listen to this discussion talk about, like, you know, jumping through the hoop or over the bucket, whatever, it's the same thing with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Why can't I just stand behind a fire hydrant and just sit there and have a foot soldier throw darts at me and just keep swatting them with, you know, my weapon? Well, why is that not allowed, but that's
because,
okay?
Because, like...
Because there's still a risk. Yeah, like he could die. You could
miss the shurikens or whatever. Yeah.
But it's like, if you're doing it in level 1,
okay,
it's like you don't see the rest of the game. It's like, you can do that. You can get the score in level one.
Yeah.
It's the spirit of the game.
That's what it is.
It is, and we're all probably behind keeping the spirit of the game.
I'm not. I break the game.
Yep.
Yeah. But I honestly don't think it's... I think it's impossible to police. You cannot do it.
Right. You absolutely can. There's rules in place already on many games.
I think you can.
We're talking about retroactive.
I think you can in a lot of games, but not all games.
Right.
Maybe not 100%.
I think the Ninja Turtles example you gave were the boss...
Yeah, like, there's a
major
special
boss
rule.
Is there, but then he keeps throwing little enemies at
the Mausers. Stops. Yeah. Yeah, but there's only so many that he throws out there, and then he stops.
Well, there's a rule that you can't kill more than 50 of the Mausers. Like,
I think he throws infinite, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it is infinite. Okay.
Yeah, it's not.
I thought it was limited.
It's limited.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's limited.
Well, either way, I'm sure there's some games where
that happens. Yeah.
But you know, I think something like that you could probably regulate to an extent.
Everyone would have to record every performance too.
Well, it's,
which they should be anyway.
In a lot of... It's no different than Splatterhouse. Yeah. It's like... The rule is don't multi-kill the last boss. And everyone... All three people adhered to it. It wasn't...
That's a good rule, though, because that's not subjective. That's an objective, like, do this or don't, you know?
Right.
That's why that rule works.
I think it could be... Like, the Ninja Turtles, I'm not anywhere near that level of play, but I like that rule. I think that works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Circus Charles is a stupid game. I mean, you can't...
Are you saying that just because Sean beat your score?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, there's absolutely sour grapes right there.
No,
yeah, it totally is. So it's a guy who likes Circus. He thinks Circus is a good game. But Circus Charlie's a bad game?
Anything with the word
Get out.
Circus Charlie's a
lifetime
good game.
Ban.
Scoring is just stupid. Because, you know, you mentioned, like, maybe you have to jump backwards. There are parts in the game
you can't survive. So you can't say no jumping backwards.
Yeah.
But it's not...
That's part of the game.
It's not no jumping backwards. There, you can kind of figure it out when he's jumping backwards for 75 minutes that it's like... it's... Well, there's something going on.
Right, but then you say you can only jump backwards when? That's got to be a situation that's black and white. It can't be anything subjective. Like... You know, can he jump backwards
well,
if he's going to die?
It could be subjective, but then you're bringing in a tribunal voting up and down.
That's exactly what I was going to say, tribunal. Like, we need the big gaming tribunal. We'll get everybody from across the country together.
By doing all this, you're...
And decree on every single game.
You're bringing in...
You can do that.
Yes.
The idea of deleting scores retroactively. You're bringing in
the tribunal
of burden of proof on everybody who submits a score, and then you're bringing in a tribunal to then... Watch that video and vote on whether they broke the subjective rules or not.
But we're currently...
And then you're also diluting all
the hundreds of games that we track scores
at. It's just logistically
you're talking about
impossible.
Four or five games that are... Man, I don't want to do that on this.
You can pad on almost anything.
You can, but...
Some padding is okay.
Some is. Some absolutely
I think
is.
The Russian Attack is a perfect example.
I agree with Russian Attack is... Contra is... That's fine. That's like...
It's all padding to me. I don't understand.
It's all Greek.
I've watched him do it, and I can say he's being very, very cautious, but I know he's padding. My tribunal, if I was voting whether he was padding or not in his run, I would say thumbs down, because I know he's padding. But I don't fault him for it, because it's dangerous to go fast in that game in the second loop.
Then you would vote him up.
No, because padding is illegal in this universe, so I would vote him down.
I don't think it's black and white.
It's not.
It's not. That's got to be a per game.
So it's not illegal in this world. That's
the
wrong statement.
That's a wrong statement.
If it was part of the new rules of that...
No padding exists.
If there was some...
It's not.
I don't think anybody's
padding.
Suggesting
Nobody's
no padding.
Nobody's suggesting no padding.
I think Jamie is.
No, I'm just using it. I'm using Russian Attack as an example that's a very, very gray area. That is, I think, the best example of a
but
gray
like,
padding area.
Okay, if we could check... Let's not go with Russian Attack because that's not one we're looking at. Like... Circus Charlie, it's like Double Dragon. It's like there's a guy who has called me over and he's like, I got the world record. And he's doing the trick where he's just kneeing the guy over and over and over.
I was surprised he didn't take that one.
Why? Like, it's...
Because there's a timer.
Yeah. But there's no skill to that. That's
skill
like...
Skill is not necessarily a measure of score, as proven by Fred and Jamie.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well,
let's get things
lover.
Back on track because we can do that.
And
as a community where it's not like there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that we're dealing with in the community. Like, if we were like, oh, hey, can you not do that so that your score is legitimate and you still put up a great score?
Well, that's fine. You can talk to me, though. I'm you face to face.
See, the problem is...
And that's the awesome thing about our community. We can do that. Right. And it's so easy to police stuff and communicate, and it's like, it's not a challenge because that's the community here.
So that the score that you know, that Kevin Clem, he beat the score that was on TG. How do we know that guy on TG didn't do the knee bash thing to get his score?
If we're going to acknowledge the other scores, like, we have to do some research. And if we can't verify it, then we just can't acknowledge it.
Because I was looking at that Double Dragon in particular. I just going back to that, like, the score, not for the arcade, but for the main version of Double Dragon, is over 300,000, because that's the technique he used. I saw the guys submitted the same replay on MARP, and I watched his replay. That's what he did. He did the knee bash technique, and they allow it. So, like, it's the score. I mean, the score may not take skill, but he still completed the game. The game isn't the hardest game in the world to beat, though.
No,
I mean,
it's
you
not.
Can elbow bash people to death if you don't want to fight them straight up.
Sure. But, like, but with the stuff that...
And it looks, and again, it looks ugly. I know what you're going to... I know the gameplay looks... bad. If you were just look at it objectively, it looks like it takes no skill. So.
Oh, it's not sexy. Padding is not sexy.
Yeah, it's like it's. If you want a true display of skill, I don't think score is the best measure for that game. It's probably a time attack for that game. Like beat the game in the quickest amount of time.
See, look, ultimately, it comes down though. Like at least for, you know, Galloping Ghost Arcade, it's just, I guess, everybody sitting down, getting some sort of tribunal, and just agreeing on.
Yeah, I think you could institute those rules locally.
Locally, right. Yeah, yeah. Like you said, but like, yeah.
That'd be very, that not very easy, but...
Easier. But internationally speaking, that's when it gets a little hairy.
I don't think you can do
those guys in Spain are a little, you know...
Is that a...
There's already...
Is that a pack joke?
Spaceman.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a Spaceman joke. But yeah. More of a pack joke, thank you.
Yeah.
There's chunks of scores that we... currently don't acknowledge, just like on the Japanese shmups, like there's tons of scores. Like there's things that we like, there's numbers out there that, you know, those players are amazing, but we just do the way Orcade is set up, we can't acknowledge them.
Yeah, there's ones that shouldn't be acknowledged either, I think. Like, you've seen TG's Alien vs. Predator world record? Mm-hmm. Has a 7 on the end of it. 7 continues were used.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of...
There's scores that just shouldn't be there.
Jamie
there's
a Airfire
Capcom versus Marvel vs. Street Fighter that ends in a 13. And it's like, every score in that run has multiple credits in it.
Yeah.
And
so we should know to ignore those.
We already do.
Yeah.
I know one of the scores that you have, we acknowledge it as the world record, and we don't acknowledge TG's because it is not a properly adjudicated score.
Which one's that?
I want to say it was Marvel versus Street Fighter.
Oh, I know that.
But it's not like it took 13 continues for them to get the score. Like, what are you?
Not Pete.
Not Pete. Gamer of the Year. He gets it in one credit.
That's me.
But like the scores that are glaringly wrong, like just because somebody says it's a world record doesn't mean that we have to acknowledge it.
Alright, here's a question. You institute rules locally on Surface Chart. My score goes out the window. Mm. And if you institute it, I would not be heartbroken. I don't really care that much about Circus Charlie. But can my score stand as the world record?
Well, that kind of depends on who...
If
let's just say you max out the score.
Right.
Yeah. Well, would it stand as a world record? Not among the local players, but among the world.
Right.
It's got to be game by game. Yep. No game. There's no one size fits all.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And Circus Charlie, as much as I don't like saying it, might be one of the ones that we don't regulate because it's too arbitrary. Even more so than like the Ninja Turtles example or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think so. If you're going to institute no padding, that would be an easy one to do.
I don't necessarily agree.
It'd be hard to police. You'd have to record every attempt.
You'd have to record. I mean, if you institute no padding rules of any kind in any game, you're making it mandatory that people have to have video proof.
We should just all do that.
Well, that should be mandatory. Like, the scores that...
It's currently not.
Yeah.
It's currently not.
Yeah.
It's something that I think would be very beneficial to grow the community and just as a whole, like, this stuff should be being documented. Like, your gameplay on Dodonpachi, like, if there wasn't video of that, that would be terrible. Right. Like, we want to see what you're doing. Like, it's, you're playing these games at such a high level.
I take, like, that.
What?
You wouldn't need video proof. Nothing, I don't think anything would change. Not to argue against myself, but right now, you don't accept scores from people you don't know.
We don't accept video submissions, like, from if they're not done here, is what you're getting at, right?
Right, but I mean, if I came to you with a score, you would trust that I did it correctly. Because just because I've been coming here a long time, there's a trust built up. Right. You don't do that with people you don't trust. So you would just trust that if there were padding rules in place, that I did not break those rules.
Sure.
So I wouldn't. You wouldn't necessarily be instituting video proof.
I think we should.
I think
it's not mandatory. I would like it to be, just because.
Yeah, I agree.
Again, it's reason not to.
Right. That'd be nice.
And the players that want recognition can get it. Like, we put it on YouTube and everyone sees this is the world record. I know James is always like, hey, he wants to be a celebrity, you know?
Yeah.
Let's put him on YouTube and stream, you know, streams, whatever.
I have the video so I can watch and, like, see what I did right.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. That's the best way to learn. Yeah. Yeah.
So if Circus Charlie, you instituted a rule, no padding. I don't think any of, like, Sean, Mossy's, or I have not really maxed out the sixth thing of that game. What if halfway through we discover another padding spot?
You can, like, we have the power to keep altering. Like, we can keep, if you're now getting farther, can right. add that later.
But now we're up to three anti-padding spots. So now you're looking at the rules as a casual person, and you're going, okay, I can't do this on level 1, I can't do this on level 4, I can't do this on level 6. That, to me, you're starting to... There's a tipping point where you're going back to the...
Right.
Making it more confusing for a casual player to get involved.
That's what Super Mario Brothers players are always looking for. It's going to
be a game-by-game basis. Like, what are you gaining versus what are you losing? Like, are you losing one casual player that doesn't want to play versus two regular players that instantly stop playing a game? Like, it's the give and take of it. Like, it has to be in the mindset of what's best for the community to keep people playing the games, keep people submitting scores, keep people just, like...
I wish we could update games. Like, you know how they patch Mortal Kombat when they characters... we just patch that out of the game and we'll be good.
Cool. Well, you know, and that's... It's starting to happen. Larry DeMar bringing us the tie-dye ROM set of Robotron, fixing a few things here and there.
Find out who developed
Circus Charlie. let's get him in here. He's probably in Japan. That was a Century game, right?
Yeah.
Century owned.
Yeah.
Get him in here.
Let's get him in here. Next Developers Day, he's going
to
be here.
Yeah, next Developers Day.
Charlie, we're going to find you.
Is Chris Tang coming back to fix Primal Rage 1 for us?
Yeah.
Well, I think the arcade here, you know, you have... that I set up when you have new games, though, that nobody else has. So that's, you know, something like we can make the rules for. Like,
and that's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games, right.
Like, if you look on Arcade, how many unique games do we have here now? Like,
so we have a lot of room to experiment with.
Absolutely.
To see how things go.
Yeah, I think we could easily do it inside the arcade. And if it leaks out internationally, then...
We need this international tribunal happening. It's going to happen. Just like, you know, when they like vote on a pope and stuff like that. Like,
the smoke will come out of GTA. New rule has been decided.
Yeah. A new track has been
decided. Yeah, we currently have 105 unique games here that no other arcade has. Of the 482 games that we have, how many other arcades are people actively going and setting scores in on?
Sure, but then you get the crossover. Whenever you say world record, you always check TG first to make sure you're saying it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's legit when you say it.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Before we put a star on it, we always check TG, yeah, before we put the crown on it.
Sure. So, but I mean, at that point, if you've instituted rules, do your rules, and your rules don't match TG's rules, what happens then?
Like, TG Life Force is a good example where we put up a world record of Life Force and TG changed them. And they just had their own track. Like, I think eventually we could have a, with Orcade, I think we can have a stronger scoring base than, I think it can be the most respected one out there. Just because the volume, the amount of games, the amount of scores that are constantly going in. Like the fact that in a week, we couldn't even, we had to have Orcade update from keeping track of the last 50 scores to now they track
200.
200.
Yeah.
Because this is where all the scoring is going on. It's this is where everybody has access for the game. People are traveling in here. And they do it at Fun Spot. They do it at other arcades. But there's very few places that take scoring as seriously as we do. And I think that eventually there'll be this tipping point to where it's just the credibility of this place will just be the top.
Yeah, like if you compare, like I last time we were talking about this, I went and I looked at TG's submission queue for arcade submissions. There was 11 active arcade submissions, and we have 200 submissions that happened in the last 11 days on Orcade.
Were all those submissions world records?
Yeah, but TG, most people are putting in world records.
Most of them. One was a Robbie Lakeman Crazy Kong, and another one was something. Most of them were like top level players.
Right. It's kind of apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Right.
Because yeah, in the case he's stuffing the scoring thing here, with his crap scores. Or...
Thank you. For
you're welcome.
But yeah, there's just a ton more scores going in here, though. Yeah,
there's times where you can look on the board when it was the top 50, and it's like there's 18 world records set there, and it's like wow, and it's solid games. It's Forgotten Worlds. It's Russian Attack. It's Contra. It's not like we're just kings of the low-hanging fruit. It's like
no, I'm just I my whole argument with this whole thing has been from a practical standpoint. I'm with you in spirit,
but the practicality of anything that we do seems impossible. Like there's an arcade with 483 games.
Yeah,
that's not practical.
No, but I mean
all CRT monitors. Yeah. Hey, let's track scores on everything.
It's to be a big undertaking. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything the current system's easy to keep track of though. By adding those rules, you're making it much harder. You can do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I mean, who's on this tribunal?
If you're going to start adding scores and...
I think Gamers of the Year should definitely be on the tribunal.
Well, I think the people that needs
the Elder Council.
I think the adjudicators of Orcade, and I think the...
Yeah, refs. I mean, shouldn't all the referees be involved?
It should be the referees, and it should be like...
It should just be expert
players.
Everybody that cares.
I think the players should have input, and the referees should decide upon it.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Because it's like... If there's a game, as like I know many, many of the games over there. There's a handful that the scoring I'm kind of I could be better on, but I'm comfortable with everything over there. If Circus Charlie, if you're like, hey, let's do it like this, and you're let's do it like this, the adjudicators would sit down, take your information, and come up with something that'll work. And something that'll make everybody happy and keep playing the game.
Yeah.
Well, let's make this happen.
As long as people keep playing.
Well, we'll keep playing no matter what.
Yeah, that's
what I wish, like, in my utopian society, like, I wish just everyone would just play with no holds barred rules. Just everyone just go and play, because that way you don't have to worry about these rules.
But that's...
Because I'm a Cyrex player and, like...
Status quo. No.
But, like, okay, so you've played and learned Darius Gaiden.
Yes.
You love the game.
Okay, yeah.
What if level one, after you've spent all this time on it, somebody sits in the corner.
You're asking the wrong person, because he's gonna
just sits and spends 14 hours, more time than you want to spend standing there.
Okay.
And he gets the score.
So, I mean, then he earned it.
No.
You're asking the wrong dude.
He earned it out of the staying awake for 14 hours and playing it. I give him credit
for that. What is the most important thing everybody has? Time.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It is.
We only have a certain amount of time left on this planet.
Like my eyes score.
If he wants to spend that time wasting it.
I'm
wasting
fairly
doing
proud
that,
of the eyes score.
So
it's like 5 million, isn't it?
Like 4 or something?
Yeah.
Maybe 5.
Yeah.
I talked to Wagner and he's like, hey, I got a million on the first board. Just because you can sit there and just go pew, 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 forever. So,
and I think for some people, a record means more to that person than others. You know, like,
I would sit there and pad if it was a game that I enjoyed. But eventually I'm going to get sick of padding. Yeah. And just my own, I want to challenge myself. Okay, right. Can I 1cc this?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to pad it anyway, like Ghosts and Goblins. Like, don't have high enough skill level to do like a 1cc, but in theory, if I did, I'm going to sit there and pad, because if anybody tries to break my record, they all learn how to pad just as well as me and beat the game.
Right, there's a learning curve. You got to do both, yeah.
And you could do that even on
Darius Keaton or whatever, you know, Dot was saying. Like, I would have to do that, and then if the guy couldn't beat the game as well as I would still take the score back.
So, going back to...
It would be hard. Again, like, it wouldn't be fun. I know what you're saying. It wouldn't be,
right.
It wouldn't be like, fun to watch. It wouldn't be fun to adjudicate. It wouldn't be fun to do, but that's what it comes down to.
We have, just by saying, hey, don't do that. It's again fun, and it's fun to watch. Like, I don't want to adjudicate a score, even, like, it's awesome watching you play that game.
Yeah.
It's a long game. Adding...
a little bit, okay.
It's a pretty long game. Love watching you play it. It's awesome. It's fun every time. Every time you're playing, it's like, man, how'd you live through that little... that bullet spacing you...
Yeah.
Threaded the needle on that. Awesome. If I have to watch you do 14 hours of shooting bullets or something, it's like,
it's not
fun.
Glorious.
You wouldn't have like,
that's a look at that song, right?
No, in the...
Sweaty bullets. It depends how much you want to win. I mean,
in the padding world, you're not adjudicating 14 hours of padding. In the padding world, you don't have to adjudicate because there are no rules.
But you could just go, don't do that, and then it's better for everyone.
So, like, compared to, like, professional sports, it's not fun to watch someone get intentionally walked so they could try to get the pitcher out next round, but they do it because they want to win. It's tough to accept what you have to... Yes. I'm trying to draw these analogies. Some of them stick, some of them don't. But, like, it's not fun to watch, it's not fun to do, but it's what makes sense. Like, you just gotta...
It doesn't make
the
sense.
The goal is to win.
Goal...
I'm coming around on your pitching analogy.
Yeah.
You've won me over.
Thank you. And it's not for everyone. Like, I agree. You're gonna turn people off.
Gun.
Like,
it's the gun.
Bringing the gun to the fist
fight. It's the gun at the fist fight again.
Knife to the fist
fight. You know, I've used that analogy in so many different places now. Like, nothing to do with arcades.
Yeah.
It's ingrained in my head. I love that one.
It's in the game. You have to assume that everyone's gonna use it. That's the definition of playing to win. You do have to play to win.
Anybody watch The Untouchables?
It's from a previous podcast. Inside joke.
It's like, why does Will pick a ball? Because he's the best. You know, he's the best character in the game. He wants to win.
Is
Cabal the best player in the game?
No, by far.
That's
in which one?
In MK9.
Oh.
There's not even an argument. Everyone agrees Cabal's the best. Anyone that'll tell you different is Will. That's the only person.
Yeah.
All right, so if we're going forward and we're all on board, are you nixing my Circus Travis score?
At the tribunal, we'll have to decide.
We would have to talk about that at the tribunal.
No. Let's skip the pretense and just get to the point where everyone votes down except for me. And I would even probably vote down. I don't even care.
Do you want it polled?
Let's say I vote up.
Do you want it polled?
Let's only if we're instituting these new rules.
If you're... Sure. Let's do this.
Let's pull it right now.
Then it's
just his score, though.
Test it out. Test out the theory and put it into practice.
I mean, obviously...
Would you play again if we... pulled his score?
Because then he get to beat Sean again.
No, he got to pull his score,
too. You know, the good thing about this arcade is, so that score just made me angry. So I'm like, all right, screw it. I'm down to 479 games to play.
Exactly. If one game becomes broken, you can play another.
I'll get around to it in 2022 or something.
But removing my score does absolutely nothing.
That's true.
It takes my name off the card. I'm always in favor of that. Sean's still going to play. He's still not going to play. He's done with it.
Are you really?
No one else plays it.
No, I did play it last week.
Nobody else plays it.
All right, so he's already still playing it, and I don't even have to remove my score for him to play. So I'm saying removing my score does nothing.
All right, well, To wrap up.
We'll wrap this up.
Going in the future.
We will...
Don't do that.
No running.
Dollar on the ground.
No running.
Dollar on the ground.
No intentional walks.
No stabbing or no bringing guns to fist fights.
And no guns to fist fights. And no eating at Tony's.
That's...
What?
Whoa.
Let's back up a step there. We have an announcement, though.
Oh.
Ooh. Well, you guys already know about it. Just for the stream. Or not for the stream, for the podcast.
So.
For Saturday. I want to announce before we wrap up.
This Saturday.
I want to remind everyone.
The 16th.
Yes.
This Saturday, the 16th, we will be adding a special
new game
to the arcade floor. It's no mystery.
It's no mystery. It's
it's been on Facebook.
Yeah. It's a mystery to everyone not alive.
We will be unveiling Sky Cursor here at the Galloping Ghost Arcade.
It's a fun game. Very fun.
You play it yet?
Yes.
Where?
Logan.
Nice. Me too.
Is it finished yet?
No.
No.
No. Okay.
Not close.
There are rumors of level 3.
Level 3 preview.
Level 3 preview will be going on here.
How many levels are intended to be in this game?
I don't think they've fully...
No ending.
They have not.
The never-ending shmup.
You beat the game, and then they add a new level.
Yeah.
They will continue to add stuff for a while.
That's good. I talked to Chris. He mentioned at least two more levels.
Yeah.
Like, there's a, so I think there's a snow level coming and some other level. I can't remember.
Wow. It's awesome. We've seen the artwork for the control panel that we're getting, and we have our cabinet all set for it, so super anxious to get that.
It's a very cool-looking game.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of those when I first saw it, I'm just all like, I don't know, but lots of floating eyeballs, but I'm going to try it. As soon as you get into it, there's just so much coming at you. It's so much fun.
Oh, I played it at Logan, too, the night they brought it there.
Okay.
They had the volume cranked on it, too.
I probably missed it.
I played
MGC. You were there?
Yeah, I came way late at night, though.
I came early when they brought it out.
I think everybody on this podcast has played.
Have you played it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's at the Retrocade.
It's the Retrocade, right?
Yes. Yeah. I only sunk about 4 games into it, but it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So awesome. I definitely recommend if you can get out here Saturday to try it, please get out here. You'll enjoy it.
The developers will be here as well, so we look forward to talking with them and showing their game off. And again, after it'll be here for everybody to play. So it'll be an excellent addition. And so cool to see a new company putting out something specifically for the arcade.
Just arcade. No Android, no console, nothing.
Nope.
Just arcade.
Pete, do you have any questions from the fans this week? Any fan mail or anything?
Well, we had a question asked to us by John Munkus about...
Yes.
He asked a couple questions. He asked about speedrunning coming to Galloping Ghosts, because, Awesome Games Done Quickly was last weekend.
Okay.
Speedrunning is...
A lot of people get into that.
You know, it's... Like, hearing this conversation from earlier, like how some games are...
They lend themselves better to it.
You know, I think speedrunning works for console games, home console games in particular, because there is no scoring aspect to it. So it becomes the default one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you start implementing that with other things. Like, a game that comes to mind would be, like Simpsons Bowling, for example. I'm just giving you a sense. There's, 25 people that have a perfect score.
Right.
Is there 25 co-world record holders of this?
Technically, yes. So they all have the same score.
One further. Not only do you have to... if this was like a regular, like a video game, like how do you beat the game without dying or whatever, I don't know. But so they implemented, you got to beat it as fast as possible. So it works for a console game. Where we're going to implement the world record holder for Simpsons Bowling. Not only do you have to beat the game, but you have to time yourself while doing it.
Speedrun Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
No, fastest kill screen. That's what they do. They have a fastest kill screen track now.
I mean, like Simpsons Bowling, it'd be whoever uses Homer and spins it forward.
The fastest. Without aiming. Yeah.
Without aiming.
Oh, you're supposed to use Homer?
Well, he has the fastest.
It works better with Homer?
I think it's Homer.
That's the tech.
I played it literally 3 times and got it.
Mazius is going to go immediately right now.
He's got a new world record.
Oh, do you?
I don't.
But I never used Homer.
There's one guy where you just straight, boom, boom, every time.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a totally broken game.
See? You know, I spent 2 hours on that game over.
Oh my god!
And I got 100. I got a perfect score with Apu.
Okay.
Chris Delutri actually has perfect games with every character in there.
Yeah.
Oh god! All
right,
that deserves.
He deserves the world record
that
for that.
Deserves something.
We should take everyone else's crown off that game except for this.
So I did not know Homer had a
perfect straight. Yeah.
I think speedrunning is just fun.
It's fun to watch, too.
It's straight fun. Like, I watch dudes speedrun console stuff, and I don't care about the game at all, but watching a dude speedrun it is just straight up fun.
It makes it exciting.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch people glitch stuff.
Well, there's glitchless speedruns. There's guys speedrunning Vendetta.
It's a different world than the arcade.
Yeah, it is.
It's totally
stay.
But the game's done quick. They do it live. 150,000 people are watching. There's crowds cheering behind them. I mean,
that's all for charity too. It's a good cause.
It's fun.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It'd be cool to do it locally here. I'm not saying start new tracks on Orcade, but it would be fun. There are a lot of games here that would be pretty cool to watch speedrun.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it would be. Like, I was watching a guy do a speedrun on Vendetta, and the guy was really good, and it would be fun to watch.
You think it's going to last for a long time? I don't think it will.
I don't know.
Yeah, well,
it won't.
It's got legs.
Nothing lasts forever. Only arcade games do.
But John's other question, we're probably going to address on the next podcast because it's a little more in depth. It's about like hardware emulation and stuff, of people getting into boards that can emulate, the real ROM chips and stuff. So we'll probably have to talk about that when we have more time.
For sure.
Ooh, a tease.
I like that.
Yeah. The answer nice. Next week.
Yeah. So to wrap up, should we go around the horn and what we're playing?
Duke Dang upset that we have not been doing. What are you playing?
Around the horn.
So, shout out to Duke for having that come
back. Dukes!
Dynamite Duke Dang.
Yep.
What are you playing tonight?
Dragon Blaze.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's the best, obviously.
It's the best, yeah.
Aero Fighter Special. And I played a game of Dota Apache, got a personal best, one game. And then Mission Craft. I don't know why. You taunted me into playing that, and now I can't stop.
Upgrade complete.
Oh, we can get the back.
Upgrade complete.
So it's a shmup night for me.
Shmup night.
Cool. So should just stand next to the cabinet and do that while you
play. Upgrade complete.
When I come there, kid, I don't have any game plan. I play usually whatever. I'm probably going to put a few games into the Aero Fighters since it's new.
Don't forget there's a tournament in that.
Yes, whoever has the high score by the end of the night. We have trophies on the way.
Trophies are on the way.
Yes.
Whoever has the highest score, name Fred.
Thank you.
No, so I'm not playing anything particular. I've already played probably a dozen different games.
So I've been working on Gradius 2. Still probably going to jump on that and not crash into walls, hopefully. Pro Gear, which is really fun.
That's awesome.
That is an awesome game. It is really hard.
I'll get around to that at some point.
Yeah,
I played one game of that. Yeah. That is intense.
And from what I heard about that one, too, it's not always the same patterns. Like, the game will switch up what it throws at you and the different attacks that the certain enemies do. So,
Is that rank-based or just completely random?
I think it's just random. That's at least what I read about the game. So,
okay.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. Fun game. So, Gradius 2, Pro Gear. If I got time... I've been having really good runs in Final Fight lately.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and up my score.
Twiddle.
Mr. Twiddle.
I almost did it last time, and actually, I don't know what happened. Like, the game, like, glitched out, or I wasn't paying attention to the time, because I was on the final stage, and just walking around, and just dead. And Jeremiah was watching. He's just like, what happened? He's like, you got 60 seconds. I'm like, I have no clue. So I don't know what happened. But I was really close, and then nothing.
That's crazy. I'd like to see that.
So awesome. I wonder what happened.
So those three, and play some Aero Fighters too, since it's new. It's fun.
Special.
Special. Mm-hmm. Oh, special. Okay. Special.
Yeah, don't play two.
Fourth.
They'll play two.
Okay.
I don't like two. It's a good game.
Do we need to ask what you're playing?
I'll be playing Dota Apache, of course.
Yeah.
I hope to hit that score tonight. Some Mars Matrix, and then maybe some Dragon Blaze, just to piss Jamie off.
Nothing would make me happier.
No, because I'm going to break the game.
No, you're not.
Yes.
Wait, James White style?
I'm going to twiddle. No, twiddle. I don't need to. One game, done. I don't expect Jamie to come even more close to that.
Uh-huh. And Aero Fighter Special?
Aero Fighter Special.
Yeah, yeah. Who's walking away with the title?
Me.
Fred.
One of these two. It's a foregone conclusion already.
Fred's very good at Aero Fighters.
I'll give it a run. It's not close enough to one that he has a distinct advantage.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh.
It's got his character, though.
Plays a very similar to Pro.
One is brutally hard.
Keith Bishop's my character.
Oh, I thought Kofu was.
But he's not in that one.
There's no way. You got like 480 out of the box?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, not that high.
You wouldn't have been able to do that on one.
No, one's way harder.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that. What I'm saying is I'm much better than you.
Oh. Nice.
I found a dollar on the ground. All right, what about you, Pete?
Never going to live that down. if I have time tonight, I might try MIA again.
Oh, wait.
I've been playing a couple games. I'm not going to put up a score until I can get a top score on that.
Either you or Brian have got to rescue the POWs and bring them back so we know what happened.
So, yeah. That's so tragic. It's not like what's happening.
They're going to drop like flies.
Yep. So it's either going to be MIA or possibly... I don't know. I was
you know that game.
Yeah,
that one. I was playing a little bit of that Captain America and the Avengers the other day. I was enjoying that. I don't know. It's got a horizontal shmup section. How could I not play it? So, but maybe those two. Maybe Crime City. I don't know. I've got a few little projects. But, yeah.
What about the Doc Man?
Well, I will be going through the vaults tonight to find out what will be going up next week. Ooh. Because I waited until today to pick the game, and that is not the way to go.
Procrastination. Like,
that last minute panic is that perfect inspiration.
It's about...
You've been 11... playing Dragon Blaze.
I will play a game of Dragon Blaze before I go, for sure. Because that is a very good
game. You have to. Really?
Cool. It's only the best.
But... definitely something good coming next week. Very, very good. Very excited.
Every week, though, and it's true.
This week I was a little more relaxed. I didn't know. Okay. This next one it'll be something unexpected.
Okay.
Was anybody expecting Aerofighters?
You know, you gave a little hint by the fact that for whatever reason the Aerofighters cabinet moved.
Yeah, that's a good hint.
That was one of those last minute things, but
I was wondering
how you guys can't show up until 5 o'clock next.
I was good. I saw you
He averted his eyes.
I put my horse blinders on. Yeah. I didn't look.
No, the Aerofighters cabinet moved like 2 weeks ago.
That had nothing to do with it. That was just random.
Oh.
He wanted all the dragon cabinets next to each other. I think.
I figured that.
Well, there was a movement in some of the cabinets.
Yeah.
Any cabinet that moves,
it's like Metal Gear Solid where the room and then the question mark shows up. That's this guy right here.
Yeah.
You won't be expecting what's coming next week.
Ooh,
right. So you've never mentioned it to anyone?
I haven't decided on it, but I'm going to make it.
All right.
The vaults have so many amazing games in it. Oh, it's going to be good. And unexpected.
So it's super special and unexpected, even to you,
Circus Charlie.
Yes. I will continue to go through the vaults until just the right game is picked.
Excellent.
All right.
Let's go play some
cool
games.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. For everyone that is here, thanks.
He's Doc
Mac. Mac from Galloping Ghost Arcade, and we hope to see you around the arcade soon.
Bye, everyone.
We have light on for you.